You'll do anything to not play the Bears theme. Is that true?
The Bears theme at this point makes me sad. When I hear that song, I start to tear up because I remember better days.
We are going to talk Bears. I know you got to stop busting the Bears. You're going to make Adam Hogue cry.
Adam, that's not my goal. I'm not here to make you cry. I'm just here to do the Super Bowl shuffle.
You could play the Packers version of that song.
Do you want me to?
You know that one?
We could do that one.
What?
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
I don't. Can you fill the rest of us? Oh, the Bears still suck.
Yeah.
I was actually at a wedding in Green Bay, and they played it there like it was normal.
The bride came down the aisle to that song.
Yeah, I was the only one from Chicago at the wedding, but they still played it.
Wendy's very optimistic about the Bears.
That's all we have.
I'm very pessimistic about the Bears. Yeah. Which one of us has a season to look forward to?
Well, considering I'm going with 8-8, I'm splitting you guys right down the middle then.
Best case scenario. Absolute best case scenario is the Bears end up 500, right?
No, I actually think absolute best case scenario is they go 10-6.
Yeah.
I can see a scenario where that happens, but they need to stay incredibly healthy and not have any of their key players get hurt. And considering that I'm looking at an injury report in front of me right now that includes Kyle Long with a shoulder injury that's not going away, and Kevin White, who still yet to play an NFL game, popping up here with a hamstring injury, and he's now questionable for Sunday. It just seems unlikely that the amount of health they need this season to be a playoff team is actually going to happen. And unfortunately, I think they're a few devastating injuries away from actually maybe even being just a 4 or 5.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Why is Robbie Gould gone?
I think it's just a matter of what have you done for me lately? And for this regime that came in here just a year and a half ago, they didn't see good Robbie Gould. Robbie Gould struggled last year. He didn't make big kicks. He had a pretty rough preseason, missed a field goal a couple weeks ago, missed 2 extra points last week in Cleveland. And what people don't really aren't able to see that we were able to see, he had some really bad practices too, where he just, I remember one practice, I think he missed 4 in a row, which I've never seen him do.
Wow.
God, he's like the Shaquille O'Neal of football.
Yep.
With the free throws? Yeah.
Yep. And he's expensive, isn't he, Adam? He cost the Bears a lot of money, didn't he?
He was expensive for a kicker. Now, I don't think that had actually played a huge role. Bears had plenty of cap space, and he was beloved enough within that organization that I don't think the McCaskies had any problem paying Robbie Gould the amount of money he was getting. I just think it was a matter of John Fox and Ryan Pace didn't really trust him to make big kicks because under the time that they've been here, Robbie Gould hasn't been that good. And so they found a different guy that John Fox has familiarity with in Connor Barth in Denver, and they brought him in. I don't necessarily agree with the move, but I think that's the logic behind it.
And some team is going to pick him up, right? I don't think he's done playing NFL games. Do you?
I don't. I actually ran into Robbie at Northwestern's practice the other day. He happened to be there working a little bit with the Wildcats. And the sense I get is he still thinks he has 5 or 6 years left in him. He thinks he has plenty of NFL left to play. And I just think right now he's going to be careful, though, because I don't think he wants to go sign with the Cleveland Browns, right? I think he's going to wait and maybe see here for a couple weeks to see if any good teams need a kicker. And if they do, he's the top guy available right now. So he'll get the first phone call most likely.
How old is he?
Robbie Gould, I believe, is 36, I want to say.
Well, 5 years is a little bit of a stretch then. Don't you think?
Well, for some of these kickers still go...
you can play a little longer.
Yeah, actually, he's only 34.
Oh, he is? All right.
He'll turn 35 in December, and there's a couple kickers right now that are over 40 in the NFL. So it's not like you're getting hit in the head every single play when you're a kicker, so your career can last a little bit longer.
We just got a text from Bill Leff. But
from
they
me?
Kept Cutler?
Yeah, how about that? How about that?
How do you text and talk at the same time?
Why isn't Dick Butkus with the Bears anymore, Adam? He played some good years with the Bears. They should still keep Dick Butkus.
Great question.
Cutler isn't going anywhere.
That would have been a surprise cut.
Is
Jay
he?
Cutler.
If you mean not going anywhere like the playoffs,
no,
you're absolutely right.
No, I don't mean that.
Oh.
We have him for quite a few years, don't we?
No. His deal is ending when, Adam?
5 years from now.
Oh,
I
seriously?
Told you.
Is it five more years? Wow.
Do you think we'll keep him the full five?
No, I don't. I think that this deal, here's the thing. After this season, this contract is set up so that it is really a series of one-year options because none of the money is guaranteed anymore. So it's basically up to the Bears to say, okay, we'll pay you this amount, and it'll be a lot of money every single year. It'll be about $15, $16, $17 million, if I remember right, per year. But every single season, the Bears can go, all right, well, we actually want to cut ties, and we let him go, and they won't owe him anything. And so that's always a possibility. Now, and what that does actually is that makes his contract very attractive to the rest of the league as well. So it's a possibility that they're able to trade him.
But then wouldn't the rest of the league look up something like, I don't know, his record and then go, that's not a guy we need on our team?
Yeah, like, but just look what happened in Minnesota last week. Teddy Bridgewater goes down. Yeah. If the Bears didn't need Jay as much and it wasn't a divisional opponent, you know, that would have been a perfect scenario to say, hey, we want a first-round pick. You're a desperate team.
Yeah.
There's always going to be teams in the NFL desperate for a quarterback.
Yeah,
even
that's
Jay
true.
Cutler.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just Chicago's a jinx for him. Maybe he'll just shine somewhere else. You never know. It's happened before.
It has happened before. I just think if you're the Bears and you go back in time, I wouldn't have made this deal. I mean, I know everybody got so excited when he came over, but he didn't prove himself at all.
Well, you can look at it. It's
hard frustrating.
To disagree. It is frustrating. It's very frustrating. The Bears gave up, I believe, 3 first-round
draft
picks.
Yes, they did.
Looking back at it.
Yes, they did.
And that probably led to the demise of the defense a little bit.
Yep.
You know, I think there's always kind of a 3-year delay, but when you don't have when you lose that many first-round picks, it's going to hit you 3 or 4 years later. And I think it did hit them on defense specifically, and they're still sort of recovering from it. So I get that. I just also like to point out all the quarterbacks the Bears had in the years before Jay Cutler.
Well,
and that was rough.
But isn't that, I mean, we've talked about this with you in the past, Adam. Some teams just have this kind of a way of figuring out who the quarterback will be, and they have long runs of tremendous success with those quarterbacks. The Bears haven't had that in our lifetime.
That's true, and I think that that's a fair point. Some organizations are better at it than others, but I also think that some teams just get lucky too.
Yeah,
I mean, you look at the Colts to have Andrew Luck to just be positioned the way they were that year to end up with the first overall pick. That was very lucky. Same thing with the Packers, but I think you give the Packers credit because Aaron Rodgers slips as far as he did in that draft to like number 24.
Yeah.
The Packers did not need a quarterback at all, but that's an organization that gets it. And they said, well, we don't need a quarterback, but eventually we will. We love Aaron Rodgers. So they drafted him, and it took 3 years, but eventually he became their starter after Brett Favre, and he might go down as the greatest quarterback of all time when it's all said and
yeah.
done.
Yeah, yep.
All right, so who are the Bears playing? I don't even care.
They're playing the Texans.
The Houston Texans.
When did they become the Texans?
Well, a couple years ago.
When they were created.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds foreign to
Houston
me.
Houston had the Oilers, and then the Oilers went away, and then they picked up the Texans.
And it's been a couple years?
Yeah, a couple years.
I don't pay much
2002.
Attention.
2002.
Don't you think, Adam, if you look at the Bears' schedule, I'd say week 1, week 2, and week 3, they're playing 3 fairly untested quarterbacks. I mean,
absolutely.
This could bode very well for them if they play their
Look
cards right.
Look at you. You're turning that frown upside down.
You did a little bit
I'm
there.
I'm being way too over-optimistic.
Wow.
I understand that. But, I mean, really, if things went their way, you got 3 games right off the bat with quarterbacks that are just substandard or untested, this could be a good thing for them.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Brock Osweiler beat the Bears last year at Soldier Field, but he was also on the Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos at that point. So now he's on a different team. He's got a lot more pressure. I think it's one of the reasons. I have the Texans winning this game Sunday, but I think it's going to be close. I think the Bears are going to have a chance, mainly because of Brock Osweiler. I think that they have a chance to rattle him a little bit. You're right. Week 2, you know, the Eagles just traded Sam Bradford away to Minnesota, and they're going to be starting a rookie in Carson Wentz, who I like a lot, but it's still going to be a young kid making his second career start. On the road on Monday Night Football, I think that plays in the Bears' favor. And then the Cowboys in week 3 don't have Tony Romo. So Dak Prescott, another rookie who I like, but still, it's week 3 in the guy's rookie season, and that's going to be a Sunday night game, so pressure there. So you're absolutely right, Bill, about the first few weeks of the season.
There's teams, you have to play your division rivals twice in a season, so you're going to come up against the Packers twice and the Vikings twice. But for the most part, their schedule is really one of the easiest schedules in the NFC if you look at it.
It is, but you know the Packers, Vikings, and Colts, or excuse me, the Lions all have the same schedule against the AFC South as well, and the NFC East. So it does match up within your division. But because the Bears did finish towards the bottom of their own division, they do luck out with the cross games. Getting, let's see, that would be the Buccaneers that they get this year.
How about week five? They're playing Sarah Lawrence College. That's a ridiculous matchup, isn't it?
Yeah, that one surprised me when it came on the schedule. I didn't see that coming.
Adam Hogue is our guest.
And earlier we were talking about Colin Kaepernick, and with it being 9/11 on Sunday, I know the 49ers are playing Monday Night Football, but I want to know if more people are joining in on the kneeling deal. We'll continue talking with Adam Hogue. 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. There we go. They're down, Chicago Bears. Look at Kevin pumping his fist. We're here to support our team, Bill.
Right. Yes. And then horribly disappointed. Adam Hogue is here. Adam, can we call you our Bears Insider? Is that okay to call you that?
Yeah. That's,
he's our Bears Insider.
I thought you said Beers Insider.
Sometimes.
Well, I can do that, too. Yeah.
Yep. Sometimes.
All right. So we were talking about 9/11 happening on Sunday, and more football players are kneeling during the national anthem, and we were wondering, you know, really on Sunday, Kevin pointed out that might be a day to draw attention to it. But then I'm thinking, boy, that's so disrespectful. Who else is jumping on the kneeling bandwagon?
Well, last night, Brandon Marshall, not the old Bears player. That
there's two Brandon Marshalls.
How can there be two Brandon Marshalls?
Wendy, part of the NFL's bargaining agreement says next season every team has to have a Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, which is a scary thought, actually, when you think about it. No, but Broncos linebacker Brandon Marshall knelt last night, and his comments after the game were very interesting because, you know, you could tell that he really thought it out, at least the consequences and what he was doing. Now, he was a former teammate and I think roommate too of Colin Kaepernick at Nevada, so there's a little bit of a connection there. Of course, Kaepernick started this whole thing with the 49ers, and he said that up until the moment he did it last night, he wasn't sure if he was going to do it, and then he did it, and he kind of knew that the consequence, you know, in terms of the reaction,
there were some boos, right?
Yeah. And he said he saw it on social media as soon as he got to his phone after the game. Interesting, though, I'm curious to see if any Bears players do this specifically. And John Fox was actually asked about that today at House Hall. This was his answer.
You know, I don't go through and poll guys on, you know, all their thoughts on everything. You know, we're pretty much crammed to teach them football and game plans for that week's work. So not that I don't care. I do care about what guys think and feel, and but I haven't polled our guys, no.
And Fox yesterday said that in terms of any kind of punishment, they can't enforce any punishment. There's no rules in the NFLs or team. Now, some teams emphasize this a little bit more, but they can't, like, legally fine anyone over this. It's a constitutional right. So,
but, Adam, you do become automatically, you're a distraction to the team once that happens, aren't you? I don't know how you couldn't be.
And that's another thing Fox said yesterday. They strongly encourage their players to show respect during the national anthem, as I'm sure every other one of these teams in the NFL and across sports do.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a tough thing that we've actually, I fully admit personally, it's been hard to kind of discuss and really have a strong opinion either way, at least for me personally, because I understand the cause and I like the general cause of this movement. But there is a side of this that it is disrespectful to, you know, the military, and
although the military is surprisingly siding with Colin Kaepernick, saying we fought for his right to protest.
Right. And that's sort of the other side of this. And also, to get some kind of positive change, sometimes you have to do it in a controversial manner. And do it and be unpopular at that time. I'm not comparing Colin Kaepernick to Muhammad Ali, but a lot of things Muhammad Ali did were not very popular at the time that he did it. And then looking back on it in context over time, they're very popular, right? So you have to, I think, ruffle some feathers to actually get change to happen. And that's where, you know, this is really hard to kind of look at and understand, I think, right now in the moment. It'll be interesting to see how we look at this maybe a year from now or maybe, you know, 5 years from now.
It's funny, if you look at what the NFL has gone through, the various controversies over the last couple of years, everything from domestic abuse, and then this guy on the Packers, the guy who just got cut on the Packers, who went through a hotel and beat up a guy and his old father, a 70-year-old guy,
I'm 49er?
Blank. Yeah. No, not a 49er.
Yeah, it was the 49ers fullback.
Oh, it was. I'm sorry. Yeah. What did I say? Yeah. Did I say Packers?
Yeah.
Yeah, 49ers. I think you just wanted it to be a Packers.
Maybe. It would make it better.
Maybe.
See, they're not that good.
Right. But they, I mean, and then you throw on concussions. The list goes on and on and on of the problems that the NFL has had to not sweep under the rug, but deal with over the last couple of years. And now this.
And we had on this Adam Conover guy yesterday. Adam ruins everything on True TV. And I was watching some of his videos, and they were explaining that it isn't just the huge takedowns or helmet to helmet hits that caused this concussion issue. It's like just the constant, even little tackles, if it's repetitive and keeps happening, that can lead to it as well. And there was some helmet-to-helmet contact last night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Cam Newton, it seemed like, was getting targeted the whole game. I don't necessarily think that it was all on purpose, but the Broncos hit Cam Newton helmet-to-helmet at least five times.
Kevin was telling me, Adam, that after the game they talked to Cam Newton, and he said he didn't remember the end of the game. That's bad.
Is that really true?
Yeah. He didn't remember it.
Well,
that's
He got hit in the final moments directly in the side of the head. And not only that, but when he went to the ground, his head bounced off the ground, too. And amazingly, now the NFL has tried to get this situation addressed with being able, because you can't really trust the teams to take their quarterback off the field when you're going for a game-winning drive in the final minute. Right?
That's sad. What you just said is sad.
It is sad. It is sad, but it's also reality. And so they have a sideline, independent doctor on the sideline now, but that doctor can't see everything from the sideline. There are now two spotters. They've added a spotter upstairs this season that are supposed to be watching this closely with binoculars, look for signs. They're trained spotters to look for concussions, and the referee on the field also has the ability to stop the game and make sure a player gets checked out. And Cam Newton was actually shaken up on the ground with his head buried in his hands when this hit happened, and yet no one took him off the field, and he continues on in that drive. So as much as the NFL, I think, is making an effort here, it still seems that when it comes down to it, if it's a crucial moment of the game and someone gets a shot like that, what's supposed to happen isn't actually happening.
Why don't they get fined for what appears to be a deliberate helmet-to-helmet contact? Is that?
Oh, they do.
Well, that's another. They do. However, I think they should take this a step further. If you watch college football, they have this targeting rule, and they're allowed to even review these now. If you hit a guy helmet-to-helmet and it's deemed that you were targeting that player's head, you get ejected from the game right away. Now, I think that's a little tough because there's a lot of gray area in this. You don't know if a guy did it on purpose or not. And sometimes they actually call this completely wrong. It happened in the Notre Dame game on Sunday where they just completely missed it. I would propose that in the NFL, if you get caught with two helmet-to-helmet hits in the same game, you're ejected. And maybe suspended for the next game, too.
It's not a bad idea. Mm-hmm.
Because these players just aren't being held accountable. Sure, they usually end up with a fine in their locker on Tuesdays, the following Tuesday. But that doesn't seem to be getting the job done because the way they're trained mentally to play on the field, it's hard to all of a sudden pull your head away at the last minute and tackle properly. It's just hard to do.
I'm kind of glad my kids never wanted to play football. I really am, because I wouldn't have said no if that's what they wanted to do, but I'm just very relieved.
Oh, yeah.
They're more into video games and music.
I know.
I think about it all the time with my son.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Adam. Go Bears. That's what I'm going to say. What do you say, Bill?
Go away, Bears.
Wow.
Yep.
That's just...
I think
negative.
You know what I want to see happen? I want to see the Bears have the best season that we've seen in quite some time,
mm-hmm.
and I want myself, Adam, and Kevin to just beat on you.
That's fine. I'm up for that. Let's see what happens.
While you're wearing a Cutler jersey.
All right.
Do you own a Cutler jersey, Bill?
No.
I do not.
Can we get you one?
Yeah, you can get me one. I can think of a couple of things I can use it for.
Oh, snap.
All right, thanks,
Thank
Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
Appreciate
thanks,
it. Good luck on Sunday. We'll take a quick break, and then the news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.